I'm sounding the alarm. Today is September 11th, 2009. What has happened to the world? The world is waning, wandering away from the Lord, away from His ways, away from His peace. They, for the most part, have rejected God as King, as ruler, as leader, as creator, as a loving Father. They have rejected Him, rejected His Son, Jesus Christ, who the Father gave as a blessing to the world to die for the sins of the whole world, that whoever would believe on Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Jesus died as a lamb, an innocent lamb, perfect, without blemish or spot, for our sins, the iniquities of the world. The Father has sent forth His Holy Spirit to convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And God has a myriad of ways of functioning to reveal His gospel, good news, to the world. Through the voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks, through the Word of God that we call the Scripture, through His messengers, through His ministers, from the body of Christ. And there's many different types of members of the body of Christ, different callings, different elections. And the Holy Spirit gifts all of us, all those that are called in the body of Jesus Christ, to submit to the Lordship of Jesus as He is the head. But we are the body. And we are to speak and minister and love according to the Scripture, in accordance with the holiness of the Holy Spirit of God. We're in Him, and He in us. Just as Jesus was in the Father, and the Father was in Him. And it was a co-laborship between the Father and the Son. And likewise, as Jesus left the earth, He didn't leave us as orphans. He sent another Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, that would tell us all things that the Lord has given us. He would show them and reveal them to us. He would not speak of Himself, but He would speak of Jesus. We're in a very serious time. This is why I sound the alarm. It's not a day like usual. It's not a time to just live passively like usual. I urge you not to be living in accordance with a herd mentality like the people. Oblivious. Just feeding on whatever's there. We need to be very discerning. Because one of the first things Jesus talked about the times of the end of the age and the times of His coming again to the earth, when He comes like a thief in the night, suddenly, quickly, there'd be deception. People be seduced from the truth, away from the Lord. We have the Scripture that shows the history of the people of God that had wandered away from the Lord. Oh, they said they loved God, but they loved other gods. They loved their own self more than the Lord. And this is why the Lord has raised up ministries, apostles, prophets, shepherds, and teachers, and evangelists to perfect the body in Jesus Christ, to bring us into maturity, to edify us. Now I was reading one of the fathers we have in the Scripture, John, beloved John, who laid his head on the chest of Jesus. Such intimacy he had with the Lord. And what John said in 1 John chapter 2 really struck me recently. He was speaking and he said, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now listen. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." This isn't something that's taught very often in religious land, the church world. It's not pleasant to tell people, don't sin. There was denominations in the Christian world that actually relied on people believing that they are just sinners. And that they needed the church to be saved. That they needed the rituals and the rites. Because they were just hopeless sinners. And that's not the gospel of the kingdom of God. God's called us to believe on this act of Jesus being the propitiation for our sins. for the whole sins of all the world. And that with, as we believe in him, our sins are buried, washed clean, and that we're a regenerated, renewed, revived person in Jesus Christ. We're called to be a new creation, a new man. Not living like Adam that sought to be like God and died, but like Jesus that sought not to take it to be like God, and in the form of a man, as a servant, obedient to the point of death. And this is recorded in Philippians chapter 2, why the Father, God Almighty, has given his Son a name above every name. It was so pleasing, his life, so sacrificial, so transparent, that he spoke the words of the Father, he ministered from the Spirit of the Father for the right motivation. That is how we're called to walk. We're to be buried, dead. Our old life is over. And as we walk in newness of life by the glory of the Father that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, even so should we walk in newness of life. Romans 6. So Apostle Paul, a father, knowing that the Master had left, but he'd come again, he's urging the beloved ones that love Jesus. He says, as little children, don't sin. Do not sin. Don't offend the Lord. If you do, you can go to him. You have an advocate with the Father. It's Jesus. Verse 3. This is how we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. This is absolutely profound. Jesus made it very clear. The commandments aren't complicated. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's John 14:15. What Jesus said about the commandments was, we are to love the Lord our God, our Father, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And the second commandment, that all the laws and all that it was spoken through Moses hung on these two commandments. Loving God and loving others, loving our neighbor as ourself. It's not hard. Whatever you would want people to do to you, we should do to others. Whatever you wouldn't want people to do to you, then you should not do to others. You can't say, I love God and not love people. And we know, we all know, we've all experienced difficult people, unlovely people, people that it's very hard to be around. But you know what? That's when we're called to rise and shine and exhibit the love of God right there. Because Jesus said, what thank have you if you just love those that love you? But if you love those that hate you, now you're talking. I'm paraphrasing. Now you're exhibiting the spirit of your Father who lets his Son shine on the just and the unjust. Don't render evil for evil, or railing for railing, or cursing for cursing, but opposite. Offer blessing to those that curse you. Pray for those that abuse you. Do good to those that hate you. This is what Jesus taught us. But we absolutely must love the Lord our God. And he's worthy of that love. He's worthy. And it's a tragedy that the world does not love him back. Why? Why do they treat the Father this way? When he's so good, he gives us good things to eat. He comforts us in our sorrows. And he delivers us from our afflictions. And he's patient and he pities and has mercy on us. But if we insist on being a rebel, insist on going our own way, the way they're in will end in death. Jesus made it very clear to keep the commandments, loving God, loving people. And if we love him, we're going to keep his commandments. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We're in an age of lovelessness. We're in an age of lust and self-centeredness and evil. an absolute rebellion against the Lord, and there is no peace. The wicked know no peace. There is no peace outside of the Lord. He that says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. Hereby you know that we are in him. Are you keeping God's commandments? Do you love God? Or do you love yourself more? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love those that are unlovely? If not, you're not one of his. Now, verse 5 of 1 John chapter 2 shows us something really quite amazing. By keeping his word, the love of God is perfected, matured, made complete. The love of God in your life. And as you become seasoned, walking in the Lord, going through trials and tribulations and yielding to the Holy Spirit, it will perfect God's love in you. And you will know him, and he will know you. He that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. That's a thing that you'll never hear in religious land. God's called you to walk like Jesus, not like someone. We all tend to value men and have stars and admire people, but Jesus Christ is our example. We're to walk in his steps, who knew no sin and reviled not, and committed his way to the Father who judges righteously. And it doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen, though the world insists on hating God to the point where they'll make a war against the Lord, against those that follow him, and actually murder those that are his innocent lambs. If you know the Father, not one hair of your head will perish. Be not troubled, little ones, little flock. You are of more value than a sparrow. God knows all the flowers, all the birds, everything about you intimately. But you walk in him, you know him, he will see you through. You'll never die. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because he is the darkness is past, and the true light now shines. He that says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no occasion of stumbling in him. You know, Peter and John both talked about this. Having love of God, the characters and the virtues of God in your life will keep you from falling. But he that does not have these virtues and values in their life is blind and cannot see. And they stumble. They don't know what they're stumbling at. They're self-deceived, blind, oblivious, and forget that their old man and their old sins have been washed. I challenge you today to look to the Lord. Go back to the basics. It's not a new thing. It's that which was spoken from the beginning. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him, that's from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the crux, the core of the issue.